It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you hear me all right?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the episode, checking out the series. Do hope you hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included Bethany Cosentino from Best Coast. We had Emily Kinney on to talk about with The Walking Dead and her new album. We had the cast of Minx, including actress Elizabeth Perkins. Ellie Kemper dropped by to talk about Happiness for Beginners. Dylan Arnold was here to discuss Oppenheimer. He plays Frank Oppenheimer. Keanu Reeves dropped in to talk about Dogstar, his band Dogstar. We also had Janelle Monae, Greta Van Fleet, Lucinda Williams, Ian Hunter, Nick Hexum from 311. Those are just a few of the recent guests we've had and what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Fozia. Going to be talking about her latest single called La 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 and proclaiming that this is a dull summer. She'll talk about more about that. But the Moroccan-Canadian singer-songwriter is going to hash out why she's going for a more up-tempo sound with her latest set, keeping her influences hidden for a more original sound, and not having an Arabic Western pop artist to look up to when she was young. Fozia is also going to discuss why she decided to cover Eiffel 65's I'm Blue. It's a very different reading than the original. And that, contrary to some interpretations, last year's Citizens release was only an EP, meaning that she's yet to release her debut album. We're going to talk more about that as well. All that and more as we discuss La La La. It's Kyle Meredith with Fozia.
Hi!
It's a pleasure to have you on here. I've been so enjoying the new music that you've been putting out lately.
Thank you.
So first off, yeah, congrats on that one. And you seem like you've had a busy summer too. I mean, what did I just see? Where were you? Were you Kuala Lumpur? Was that right?
Yes, Kuala Lumpur and also in Indonesia. And I had two shows there that went so spectacularly and the crowds were just so sweet and so warm. And it was the longest travel ever. It definitely took the number one spot. It took me 2 days to get back home and one of my flights was 16 hours. So it was really, on the other side of the world, but it was so worth it. And I can't wait to go back already. I also got to meet some monkeys. So
yeah I know there are places like there's a lot of places in the world that, you know, if you didn't know any better, you would think, no, I'm close to home. I could be close to home. But I think that's one of those spots of the world that really is somewhere else.
No, for sure. Because you take one flight, you know, to, let's say, Los Angeles, and then you're like, okay, now I'm in a different part of the world because I'm from Canada. And then you take another flight to Singapore and you're like, okay, now I'm really somewhere different. But then you take another one and you're like, where am I going? Like, this is, it's just, it really puts it in perspective when you land in like just the most different places. And they're like, each flight brings you to a whole new world. And you're like, wow, I feel like I'm really hopping like planets right now. It's crazy.
Now, do you have like, do you have a favorite place to escape to, like vacation spot or touring spot?
I actually have never taken a vacation. Wow. But I've gone, but just, yeah, this last month, I kind of took like a week off and I went camping kind of like in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. So I don't know if that counts, but I'm always busy on the go, but I would love to go to Japan.
Legendary audiences there, you know, for the music. Like it always surprises me, especially like they still have such a like rock scene and they have CD stores. Like they still buy CDs like in mass. Like, yeah, it's so crazy.
Super cool. I mean, everything there that I've heard is that they're very futuristic, but still very old school. Somehow they managed to do both very well. And that's so intriguing to me. And I want to check it out. And like, I love the fashion. I heard the food is amazing. It's my number one spot. I really want to go there. So hopefully this next year.
Yeah. Well, seeing how things are going for you, I imagine, you know, the world tour is going to be happening. And that's just, you know, it brings us around to the music too. You're coming off like, let's see, Citizens came out, what, last year?
Yeah, so it came out in May of last year. So it's been a little over a year now. And there was kind of like an 8-month-ish break with no music. But of course, I had to get back to it because I can't stay away from music and I can't stay away from releasing music. So it is now a Dull Summer. So it's all up-tempo, fun songs for the summer. And I'm having so much fun with it because it's kind of a little bit out of my comfort zone. I love to make emotional and, you know, more dark sounding songs and ballads and stuff like that. So to have this summer that is dedicated to fun and dedicated to just up-tempo, upbeat anthems that you can dance to and have fun to, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's very different for me, but still feels kind of like home because of the melodies and because of the lyrics still having some sort of message in them.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Citizens did seem like this thing that you were building to, and for it to hit, like, it sounds like this is a new era. Like, do you consider it like that? Like, this is something completely...
Yeah, so I actually see this kind of as a transition period, because Citizens was kind of a long work in progress. It took years to build it and to drop it and release it. And it almost feels like there's different versions of me in it. Like, you can hear it in RIP Love and in Minefields being very different. But if you've been following me from the start, you know that they're also very much me and my sound. And I like to just bounce between those two worlds. And so this Dull Summer is a transition period between Citizens and my debut album. And so I'm trying to connect both worlds and also have fun with it at the same time.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Fozia. You have such a defined sound. Like, you really do. Like, there are hallmarks we find in your music. Like, I'd be curious, like, do you even hear your influences in your songs, whoever they may be? Because a lot of times, I think they'd be more obvious, but I don't know that they are for you.
Thank you. You know, I always like to say that I feel like a melting pot of different things. And at the same time, I'm always striving to create something new and trying to do something that hasn't been done before. So I'm really happy that you almost feel like I have influences, but you don't know what they are. Because that's exactly what I strive to do. And so, I mean, I grew up listening to pop divas, and I grew up listening to, you know, Beyonce and Rihanna and Gaga And so to me, hearing their voices and hearing their just powerful performances, that is something that I wanted to do with my career. But I also grew up listening to Arabic music. And so that creeps itself, that creeps its way into my melodies or my vocal delivery and performance. And I think that's why it's a little bit like you can't quite put your finger on what it is, because it's kind of very random, but still feels like pop music. So, which is my favorite thing in the world.
and to me, as you were saying, I mean, representing multiple cultures like that, like, do you find that you really, I mean, it could just be a natural thing that comes out of you, but do you find that you want that represented specifically in any way for any reason?
I mean, I do, in the sense where it's true to me and it's real to me. And there wasn't anyone like that when I was growing up. Like, there weren't any Arab Western pop artists. And so I think it's very cool. And I think that scene is growing a lot now too. I'm seeing a lot of artists pop up that are doing in their own way that type of music. And I think it's really special because it's like such an undiscovered and new world. So there's like the sky is the limit, and I think it's really cool now if, you know, a younger kid is looking up at, you know, the music and being like, I want to do that now that I know it's possible and that I know that there's a world for it. I would be so happy one day if that was the case.
Well, especially even too, like you talking about as a transition period, like what does that mean for your voice? And I think that means your voice as an instrument. Like, do you find that you're trying to take it somewhere else as well? Because songwriting is one thing, but then you have that.
Thank you. It's really cool that you asked that, because with these songs, I like to sprinkle vocalist moments in them. But to me, these songs aren't meant to be I'm singing and try to sing like this and that, it's so hard or whatever. Like, I'm not trying to like sing the hardest songs that I could possibly try to sing. I'm just having fun with it and exploring a new part of my voice that's just like more chill. And like the main focus isn't like, oh, listen to this like big chorus, which I've done before and I will continue to do, but I just wanted it to feel like kind of effortless and like I wasn't trying so hard.
Yeah, it's always fun when you hear singers. Like some singers, they'll talk about different voices almost like characters. And mm-hmm. maybe that's what it takes to embody those voices sometimes. Do you find yourself like doing that at all?
I mean, yeah. This summer, like just the fact that I call it a doll summer, I feel like I'm singing like a doll. Like, oh, you know, just like, oh, it's not hard. Like what? Like sing the song. Okay. Like, you know, just doll behavior. Whereas in the past, like Fosia, that wasn't the doll or whatever, was just like very like intense and serious. And I love doing that, but it's so much more playful right now. And I will go back to the more heavy hitting and serious stuff. And lots of people are like, oh no, like some people love this sound. And some people are like, what happened to your ballads? What happened to your emotional stuff? And I'm like, don't worry. Like, it's still a huge part of me and it's going to come back. I'm just having fun with it right now.
Let's hear about that new single then. You know, La La La.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to say, easy to remember. I guess I'll just throw it out. What's the story behind this one right here?
So the story behind this one is pretty simple. I mean, I'm somebody who internalizes a lot of, like, if somebody's close to me, I'm going to internalize a lot of what they say and just like let it repeat in my head. And the lyrics to this one are very simple, but it also is a very big message to me that I try to take and like actually apply to my life. And to just say, like, if somebody is not good for you and in the past for a reason, anything that they say from this point forward is la la la, and you move on and you move forward. And it's like, you don't give it importance, because the second that you might be like, wait, what does that mean? And you start to like dwell on what they're saying, you might like find yourself, you know, going back into your old ways and being like, maybe this person should be in my life, when you cut them out for a reason. And so that's what the song is to me. I love you sounds like la la la. Say you want me back, but I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah, there's no future for this person, right?
No.
Like, no door open. Like, and I hear about that, like,
it's not even slightly ajar, the door.
That's what I thought. I was like, this, whoever this was, like, They really screwed themselves. I mean, you hear that a little bit in Don't Call Me, like in there as well. Do you find that you ever write, not necessarily sequel songs, although maybe, but sort of in a linear fashion like that, from one that the same story carries over?
Yes, absolutely. I think because I write all my stuff, I will always seem to find that there's like what keywords that I reuse or a certain topic that people will be like, oh, this is, I can tell when I wrote the song just by like what the content is about. And all of the songs, funny enough, that are coming out this summer have something to do with talking or phones or calling. And I didn't even realize that that happened. But again, it was just because I wrote all of these in like a period of time. And I thought it was so funny because I'm always like singing about like, don't call me, or I'm calling you, or don't talk to me, or I'm talking to you. It's like, it's all very similar.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Fozia. And of course, I got to bring it up because you covered I'm Blue, which out of left field for me. I didn't see that coming. And what an interesting reading you gave of that. Why?
So it's actually a funny story. Back in 2019, my family went down to Los Angeles with me when I spent the summer there recording, and we rented a car. And for some reason, somebody's phone had just I'm Blue downloaded on Apple Music. So every time we would get in the car and turn it on, I'm Blue would start playing. And it was like, yo, listen up, here's a story. And it would literally, and it became kind of like a running joke. And it was just kind of like, you know what? This song would kind of sound fire if it was slowed down and sounded very moody. Because I heard the lyrics so many times. I was like, they're kind of really sad. And so I took it upon myself to write a second verse and slowed it down. And I really enjoyed doing that. And I really loved the way it turned out. And so I posted it and I put it up years ago, and then ended up like on a Netflix show, which kind of revived it years later, which is what is like the craziest thing about the music industry, is that you never know what could get picked up. And they picked that song up from years ago, and people were just like, where is the song? Where I can't find it. So I put it up on Spotify this year, like 4 years later.
and luckily that's where I found it. That's when I found it. So it's like, and it is, you made this song that is sort of ridiculous. Not like suddenly, like, it's like you're that, like, I, there's no emotion in that song, and there's real emotion in that song. Well done.
There is so much emotion. And that's another thing with like the songs coming out this summer that I wrote, because they're super up-tempo or whatever it is, you might not at first listen hear the emotion, but when you slow it down or when you really take it in, then you're like, oh, wait, yeah, these lyrics have something deeper to them.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all the rest of the stuff that comes out. And then what is this? You know, this is semantics. We play with words in the music industry. What is an album? What is an EP? You know, what was Citizens? Citizens is what, 8 tracks? Was that a debut album? Is that another EP? Is there still an album on the way?
So it wasn't a debut album, although it really did feel like one, because so much of like the beginning of my career and so many songs that meant the world to me were in that project. Like, they were really heavy songs for me. It was a prequel to my debut. So the fact that I saw like everyone had that reaction to it and everyone considered it a debut album, I'm like, no, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, and so it was a taste for the listeners to know what's to come.
So what is that? Like, maybe that takes the weight off too. Like, that's not an album. So what does that mean? Like, whenever that eventually happens, whenever the album, you know, arrives, what does it mean then for those songs that make up that record? Is it something else, I guess, is what I'm getting at? Does that make sense?
It feels to me like it was like a prequel. Like, it's still a part of the story. It was just the beginning. And when the album comes along, I do think that these songs are attached to it. And I do think that they have a place in that world, even though they could or could not end up on the debut project. So that's what it is to me. They still mean something in this chapter. They just came before.
Well, I'm looking forward to it all. And Fozia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it today. Congratulations on all the success. And I know that I'll be looking to see that tour date in Japan very soon.
Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Fozia. The new single is called La La La. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series again. Hit that subscribe button. You do that and I'll give you 3 brand new interviews sent to you every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you can keep up to date with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, do me a favor, head over to WFPK.org. I know you have to click somewhere, you have to type something in, but I promise I'll make it worth your while, because every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for 4 hours, I play the biggest in new music. We do lots of classics. There's music news and bonus interviews. One of my recent episodes, one of my recent shows, had the music of Sean Colvin and U2, Tori Amos, the Beastie Boys, Beck, R.E.M., Karim Bailey-Ray, Mark Ronson, Fleetwood Mac, Nina Simone, Bill Withers, the Smashing Pumpkins, and the Foo Fighters, and Joan Jett, and the Kills, and Prince, and the Grateful Dead, and Leve, and the Smiths, and David Bowie, and the Strokes, and Blur, and my interview with Nick Hexum of 311. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight at 6 p.m. when you listen to WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also, of course, find me on the social media spots, any of the social media spots. My address is always at Kyle Meredith. Accept no substitutes. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.